You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Live from the Play Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, and also streaming live on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in, 888-710-4476, and you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter X at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, or you could follow me on TikTok at The Zach Gelb Show. We're doing a different show today. We have one more show left in us after today. Tomorrow will be the final Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network with the changes going on around here. But when this network launched, it was CBS Sports Radio. And I'll never forget when I joined the network in March of 2018. I was doing the weekend overnights. And the first person I met in the building was a man by the name of Scotty Farrell, who was an absolute legend. And he came into the hallways and he goes, "Hey, kid, welcome to the network. I just gave you the greatest introduction ever for 5 minutes." And it meant so much to me. And I was following in the footsteps of Scott Farrell, right? He left the studio. Then it was me on the radio. So today we're doing a network throwback day, CBS Sports Radio throwback. We'll hear from many of the greats of the past. And I had to kick it off with the legendary Scotty Farrell. Scotty, how are you, my man?
Zach, my man, I'm glad to be here, and I'm proud of you. I think you've done fantastic. I knew you would. I saw you rise up from starting in that slot to doing afternoons in New York nationally, and I always would run into you at the Super Bowl, et cetera, and I just think you're a terrific guy. I was thrilled for your success, and I've always kind of been that way with everybody that ever worked around me or with the show or producers, anyone that amounted to something. That's kind of what I was most proud of with my career, was seeing guys soar to great heights in the business. You know, I got to tell you, I've been through this kind of thing three or four times over 35 years nationally and 41 years in the business. I've seen a lot of takeovers, buyouts, format flips, ownership changes. I've been on a network, sports fan. I did the very last show on that network when it went black. I'm going to do the last show on Infinity on Sunday night, the 28th. I'm doing 10 to midnight with my boy Shep, the Iron Shep. And I know that, you know, I did the first show on CBS Sports Radio. The first words that came out of the network were from me, unfortunately, because what could be worse for someone driving in their car than hearing my gravelly voice late at night? You could wreck your car. But I've been through so many of these, Zach. I got to be honest with you, like that. I would say, and I know you don't want to hear this, but it's true. I'd say you're nobody until you've been through this a few times, until you've been whacked a couple times, until you've been fired, and until you've been screwed over. You're nobody in this business, because I've been through it so many times. Like, let's just be honest. I've been fired at least 20 times, and I've been fired in bed, and I got fired this summer, and I was laying at the pool. So I've been fired every which way but loose. And I think that the one thing I've learned in this industry, in TV and radio over that many decades, is change is constant, and it's when the wind blows. The problem I've always had with radio executives are they change like they change their underwear. And, the difference is that I've worked for the best, Mel Karmazin, and I've worked for the worst. I've worked for a lot of idiots who don't know what they're doing. And one thing, I was lucky enough to work for Mel because he syndicated me for On a Bench the first time on Westwood One in 250 markets. I was on all the stations with Howard Stern. And then I got to work for Howard Stern for 10 years on Howard 101. And that was the thrill of a lifetime for me. So, like, I've worked for the greatest people ever in radio. And I've worked in television. I worked at MTV. I worked at Columbia TriStar. I made movies. I did everything. The one thing that was constant in my life, Zach, was getting fired for no reason whatsoever. So just so you know, I think you're a major talent, and I think you'll definitely do a lot more shows. And I think until you've been whacked, you're nobody. And guys that think they're hot potatoes because they're getting jobs, or they're getting a big promotion, or they're getting some money, because there's no money in radio. The bottom line is that they think they're special until they find out they're not. Mm-hmm. You'll see, I don't think have gone through it like this, but somebody around here has to tell the truth. Like, this is what happens in this business. And I think that it's unfortunate, but it's the way it goes. It's the way the cookie crumbles. And I've learned, I have very thick skin toward it over the years, because I've been through it so many times, I can't even tell you. So I think you'll still do magnificent things, like I always knew you would. And it is what it is. It's not the end of the world. It's just the end of this chapter, brother, because you're too talented not to be on. And I think nationally is your forte, because you've already proven how much of a badass you are.
Well, I really do appreciate you saying that. Now, getting back to you, as we take a look back at the network, something I always loved was really the camaraderie around this place, especially on those, like, Friday nights into Saturday. Obviously your show was great. My show was great when we did it. But sometimes just the banter and the fun that we had in the newsroom is always right. Something that I'll remember. But for you, when the network first launched, you were the first voice on the air, right, doing the show and all that stuff. What do you remember about that time when CBS Sports Radio launched?
Well, it was cool for me because, I had been at CBS for a long time. I had done WFAN and I had done WNEW Morning Drive against Howard Stern. And so I had, a history. I had years of service in the union, in SAG-AFTRA. I had a pension. I had, really done my time with CBS. And I remember when I went to work for Howard, when he brought me to Sirius, and I, the run was over there and the writing was on the wall, and I made a call to, the people that were running CBS Sports Radio. At the time, it was Lou Dickey and Cumulus, and it was, bottom line, Chris Olivero at CBS Radio, right? And they said to me that they were going to start CBS Sports Radio, and they wanted to bring Pharrell on a Bench back from the dead, basically, because when I did Pharrell on a Bench I always did it at Westwood and Infinity and CBS and WFAN and all the stations I was on. But when I went to Sirius, it was weird. Howard didn't want that. He just wanted Pharrell's show. And, I did what the guy said. I looked up to him so much that I just wanted to, you know, bring millions of men to his feet. That was really my job. And so when Lou Dickey said to me, would you be interested in coming back and doing For All in a Bench? I said yes immediately because I had worked for the Dickeys and Lou and David and John Dickey's father in Atlanta at 680, the Fan CNN, back in the day, and I was huge. So I knew the family really well when they were the power of Cumulus. And I knew Chris because Chris was my producer at WNEW. So I looked up to Chris and I looked up to Lou and David and the Dickies. So I did it with, it was an honor for me to come back and do it. And they brought back the show. So I wasn't going to say no to him. I think the one thing that was interesting for me, Zach, was this. I know that Chernoff and Spitz were scared to death of me because I had been an animal the first time on WFAN. Now, I was number one in New York on The Fan, but I was an animal. I was out of control. I didn't listen. I wasn't married. I partied. I was crazy. I was loud. The show was shots and beers and hookers and everything else. And bad behavior and heavy metal music. And it drove everyone crazy, particularly Chernoff and Spitz. And I don't think they thought I would last 1 year on CBS Sports Radio. And I lasted nine. So at the end, when Mark retired, he said to me, I can't believe how much you changed. I hated you. And now I love you. And I had, you know, married 34C. And I have two kids now. My son's 21. He goes to San Diego State. And my daughter's awesome. Going to college in the fall. It's down to FAU in Boca or Penn State. She got into both of them. I don't know where she's going to go. But when I started, in radio back with those guys at 2012, whatever it was, the first night, I guarantee you Chernoff and Spitz bet that I wouldn't last 1 year because they didn't know that I was, you know, grown up and I had a wife and I had responsibilities and I had to take care of other people. When it was just me, I was dangerous. I remember they used to pick me up in the station van at NEW in the morning at my apartment. They would have to come wake me up from a drunken stupor to get me to go into the station to do morning drive. So I had a notorious reputation for partying, causing trouble, not listening, breaking the rules. And I also had a notorious reputation for getting huge ratings. So they put up with my bullshack and eventually...
gave Sam Turin and still a heart attack.
Eventually I grew up and I, you know, got my act together. And then I'm good friends with all those guys now, those suits, all those bosses, and all the people that used to hate me. So I came full circle. I think CBS Sports Radio kind of brought me back to reality and full circle. And I think I did a really cool show. I thought it was soft, Zach, to be honest. I thought my show was pretty pretty pathetic and weak. I liked, you know, the rock and roll music,
but you know what,
the shots
though?
And beers and being crazy way better than being soft.
I would listen because I, at the time, I was coming from Philadelphia to start my weekend and I would drive from Philly up to New York and right. I wasn't on until 2 a.m. So I would listen to you and you just never knew what to expect. Like even your intro with how the music would go 6, 7, 8 minutes in the beginning, and then you would pop on. Then at one moment you'd have a fantasy football guy on. Then the next moment you would have Tim Brando. Then you're going back and forth with Carver High and Mafia, and you're talking about hockey. Then you would go to football. Then you would go to college. Like right. I never knew what to expect from the Pharrell experience. But I'll tell you, I think the toughest I've ever laughed on the air, I was doing one of those weekend overnights and I had Ben Horowitz and James Graceffo and they just had a folder of your drops. And we were talking about something with Peter Schwartz about food. And then all of a sudden I just get this Pharrell drop, you fat ass. And I'm like, what is that from? And they told me the story when you called Jay Gruden a fat ass. And the next thing you know, he responded about it in the press conference.
Yeah, he got really mad. He couldn't understand why I called him a fat ass. He didn't think he was a fat ass, but he was a fat ass at that time. And then he lost a lot of weight. You know, over the years, I've been rather abusive towards people. And I think in a humorous way, yeah. I was never a mean person.
It's a show.
It was a funny show, and we made fun of ourselves, and we made fun of others. Now, one of the funniest things I ever did was when Graceffo, the Mad Hatter, I called him, when I was at Howard Stern, I made him race Lou Pellegrino down 48th Street barefoot in the middle of winter in like snow and ice, and they raced an entire city block. Lou won the race, but I always loved working with the Mad Hatter. I always loved working with producers. Like I said before, like to see what Shep turned into, because he was a lunatic. Really, when he was a producer on my show, people wanted to kill him. But I always believed in him and loved him. And he's like a family member of mine. Like he gets along great with my wife and kids. He's known him his whole life. I know his brother, his dad. To see him do shows on Infinity, to see him do shows on NBA Radio on Sirius, I couldn't be happier for everybody. Like, I was always rooting for you and everybody. You know, I've been in the business so long and been so competitive so long when it, you know, mattered when I got ratings and I cared about that kind of stuff. And I, you know, had a lot of enemies. Back in the day, Mike and the Mad Dog hated me. Mm-hmm. And I was better at hating them. I was meaner and I was more vicious. I'll never forget what I got away with on Sirius. I was uncensored, so I had a war with Dana White. And you can't beat me when you give me 4 hours to be uncensored. I'm going to hurt your feelings. But I, you know, people can't spend all day talking about Scott Farrell. What could be worse for business? But I can spend 4 hours ruining your life. And I know that as I got older, I just really just wanted to see people around me succeed. And that's the truth. And I wanted to see them all get shows. Like when I made, you know, Carver High, basically, I always say I made him. He was working for the Schmoozer and they wouldn't let him on the mic to save their ass at WFAN. But I said, I'm going to put him on the air. He's going to be my Artie Lang. I'm going to make that guy Archie Bunker. I'm going to make him Ed Asner of Mary Tyler Moore. I'm going to make him funny, because I think he's a really funny guy underneath it all. And now he's turned into a big star on TV, radio, the internet. He's doing all kinds of gambling shows. He did gambling shows with me for 6 years. And Mafia's doing MMA fight shows. I want everybody to be successful that is into this field. Now, I think it's a really bad business. I think it's a horrible career choice now. To be honest, in if you were to go, like my son's at San Diego State, I would no more recommend him get into TV and radio than fly a kite. There's no money. There's no jobs. There's no future. I've seen radio die, Zach. I remember when radio mattered, and it doesn't matter anymore. You can say whatever you want. People can talk about how wonderful it is, and they're kidding themselves. It's been a disastrous business over the last 15, 20 years. They make no money. That's all there is to it. They have no money and they know it. And they don't like guys like me that tell it like it is. That's exactly what's happened to radio. It's gone down the toilet. And it's a shame, because I remember a day when I cared so much about doing it. That's all that mattered to me, was doing shows and entertaining people and being on the radio. I lived for it. And now, you could find 100 different careers that are better than doing this for a living. I can tell you that much. And you know what's funny is I'm dead right.
Scotty Farrell. Scott, we really do appreciate it. We got to get to the next person, but we had to kick it off with the best, America's favorite uncle, the legendary Scotty Farrell.
I'll see you around, Zach. I love you, bro. All the best to everybody at Infinity Sports Network. I'll see you on the 28th at 10 p.m. Eastern. Strap in for that show.
That's right. There you go. Farrell's going to be the final voice on the network. Management told me that right before the show. So there's a big announcement right there. He'll be the first voice on the network, and he will be the last voice on the network. And Mark Chernoff is probably sitting there somewhere saying, what are they doing? Why are they trusting Farrell? Did you just hear him with Zach? It's not going to be good. We'll take a timeout. More on a CBS Sports Radio throwback when we come on back after these short messages. Taz joins us next. All righty, welcome back in. With our run coming to an end on Friday and the network closing its doors next week, we are doing a CBS Sports Radio throwback day. and I gave Samter a task. I said, we need Taz. Taz is one of my favorite people to ever work here. I remember filling in on his show many times, and we shared many laughs through the years, and it's an honor to welcome Taz back to the network. Taz, how the F have you been, by the way, my man?
Zach, how you doing, buddy? It's good to hear your voice, man. How's everything?
Well, you know, it's been better. They're all letting us go at the end of the year.
I know.
You know, that's part of the business. But I'll tell you this. Sometimes, you know, young in my career, you always just remember a lot of people. And being able to fill in on your show was such a thrill. And you were really creative. You know, sometimes, like, there's ex-athletes and stuff that do this job, and they don't try to have their fingerprints all over the show. But the way that you really constructed a show and the vision that you had is always something that really did stick with me.
Oh, I really appreciate you saying that, Zach. I didn't expect you to say that, but I'm very flattered, not just from you being so successful in the industry, but as me at that time as a newbie in radio, you're right, I did. I tried to be different. I tried to bring a different element of content for everybody that was part of the show, including the callers, just to be a little different. I mean, unfortunately, the guy I was working with was more like, let's just do this, the SOS, the same old crap, you know? So, like, that's part of the thing with me. Like, I need to be in a creative space where people have open minds and we can kind of do some things together you know, as a cohesive unit and bring some creativity, bring something different. Because radio, especially sports radio, has been around for so long. And people love it. People are passionate about their teams and their squads or whatever sport. So you want to make it great, but I always felt like, let's make it entertaining. Let's do something different. Let's not do the same old stuff that everybody's been doing for decades. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah, and I remember when I got here, people would be like, how did your clips go so viral? And I'm like, well, I utilize social media. And that's something you always understood. You wanted everything to be visual, right? There's still a Taz and the Moose sticker hanging on the door right now. Like, you went and dug into your own pocket for promotions and things like that. So you're right. You know, we get stubborn in radio. People just try to spin the same wheel over and over and over again. But you kind of saw where the business was shifting and understood really the power of the internet, Taz.
Well, yeah, I did, and I have to give credit to the wrestling business, you know, because in the wrestling space and the professional wrestling business for a long time now, A, you can't be complacent. B, you have to be creative and utilizing social media, utilizing the internet, and you can't be like it's 1965. You know, you got to evolve, and with wrestling, it has to constantly. Storylines, talent, the way they're treated, commentary, the way we promote shows. It's an ever-growing, constant, let's keep on being different and creative and change. Where I felt like with radio, it just wasn't like that. And now no one in power gave me pushback, but they also didn't embrace it. You know what I mean? Like, there was no push for it. Because I think my opinion, you know, I just think, and not the stereotype, I think there's a lot of people in radio all over the world, especially sports radio in New York, where behind the scenes there's a lot of complacency, and I that's part of the thing I don't miss. I don't miss that about doing radio, because I felt like it was just like you have a ceiling, and you're told that's the ceiling, and that's that. I can't. I'm from a different industry where there is no ceiling. The ceiling's endless. You got to keep climbing. You got to keep being creative. You know, so I just feel I got turned off to it, you know, at some point where I just didn't, I missed interacting with callers. You know, that was fun. That was always cool. You know, because a lot of times the callers were more creative and different than what we were formatting, you know, so that's a whole different topic. But so anyway.
Yeah, you also having that soundboard of yours. You love playing the sound effects and everything. I remember when I filmed it with you, there was a lot of sound effects with you.
I was a big thing to me. You know, I had that instant replay, that 360, and I had a great producer who loaded that thing up for me, and it was wild. You know, so I mean, that was a big. Now, when I used that CBS Sports Radio, wasn't as effective when I was doing the Taz show, my daily podcast I was doing on whatever platform it was called that month. I always forget the name of the platforms, but. You know, it then I had a really loaded up soundboard like crazy, but it was fun, you know. So yeah, again, that's fun, just trying to be creative and having a good time.
Yeah, I'll never forget, as Taz is here with us, we're doing a CBS Sports Radio throwback day with the network coming to an end, and I'll never forget, I didn't know what the term Mark meant when I filled in with you, and it was like an inside joke. Mark this, Mark that, Mark this, Mark that. I'm like, boy, this show really likes to talk about Mark Chernoff a lot. So I finally had the gumption on like the Wednesday of filling in for a whole week to say, what is this Mark stuff? And then it was explained to me. And then there was something happened. I think it was Pete the Body Bilotti, and you guys were agreeing. And I'm like, oh, Taz, you're a Mark. And you looked at me, you go, I want to help you here. You don't want to call me a Mark. Then the Marks are going to start attacking you, and you don't want that smoke. And I remember saying for 5 minutes, I just referred to you as Mark. And that was a good exchange I had.
It was, and I remember that, but you, because you didn't know, in defense to you. So for those that don't know, a mark is an old school carnival term from the like 20s and 30s. It's an easy mark. So when someone would walk in to the carnival and they'd have, hey, let's let them see if they can blow the balloon up and they'll win a teddy bear for their girlfriend. But meanwhile, the balloon is gimmicked and they can't pop it. So they're a mark. They're an easy mark. So that was embraced many, many, many decades ago by the wrestling promoters, and it's a term in wrestling. It's a very insulting term, to be honest. We don't really use it that much anymore because it's kind of a joke now. But it's insulting towards the fans. Decades ago, wrestling promoters would call the fans marks because the matches, the ending of the matches were predetermined. So they're like, these people think that the ending of the matches are legitimate, so they're marks. They're easy marks, paying for something they think is a real finish to a match, but it's not. I'm going back like 60, 70, 80 years, you know, way back with pro wrestling, you know, and it just stuck. That's where Mark comes from.
Yeah, and I remember Sean Marash once, you guys got into it because he was like, oh, wrestling's fake. And when I was filling in with you, they said, don't mention Marash. And I got a little comfortable filling in with you, so I brought him up. And you said, I respect you because I know they told you don't bring him up on the show. And I still was a jackass and did it anyway.
Yeah, well, he was just a troll, just trying to, you know, he was just trying to get what we call the rub. Like, you know, I had a lot more name value and, well, not bragging, but like, than him. So he was trying to rub up against it to try and trigger me. And I assume he's probably still doing the same job he was doing, or maybe something better. I don't know, whatever he's doing.
Yeah, now he's down the hall of fame. But yeah, now he's had success.
Oh, you know? Good for him. So that's good. That's good. He's doing that. Good for him. I mean, I know he worked hard. He's passionate about sports. You know, and he worked hard. I know that. But he was just, you know, I think at the end of the day, he's probably a decent guy. I don't know him that well because I, you know how I was there, man, at CBS. I just kind of had a wall up with a lot of people. I just didn't, you know, I felt, and I was fine with it. I felt like I was an outsider because I was an outsider, you know, but that was fine with me. You know, I liked being the outsider. You know what I mean? Like, it's so, because radio is a, you know, as you know, it's a lifer type business. It's a very hard job to be in sports radio. It's hard. It's a lot of prep. It's a lot of work. You got to be on every day. And most of the times it's just audio. I mean, now it's different. Now there's a lot of video with, you know, podcasting and all that stuff. But, you know, as it was back in the day, it was just audio mostly. So it's like you're one dimensional now. So now you got to bring it somehow. You know what I mean? Like, and you got to keep it awake and you got to keep it going. You got to keep it fresh. It's a hard job. You know, it's a hard job. I mean, and when I was doing sports radio, it wasn't easy. It definitely wasn't easy. You know, and it got me to a point where, like with some sports, I was just like, man, I just almost didn't. It became my job to watch sports. And I always loved sports. I was always an athlete my whole life. My son's an athlete, was always an athlete, and always been around sports since I'm a little kid. So I found myself at a little point where I was like, man, like, I'm like, this is probably not for me. I don't love covering sports as much as I thought I would, because it got to a point where it wasn't fun anymore. It just wasn't a job anymore. But you look at guys like on The Fan, like you said, Marash and all these other guys, or Boomer and gee, all these guys, you know, and guys at CBS Sports Radio like yourself, you guys work your asses off. You guys, there's a lot of work involved with all these people that are successful. If you're at CBS Sports Radio, you're at WFAN, no matter if you're a producer or on air, whatever you are, you got some success, you know? So, but you had to earn it. You had to work hard. I mean, so I do respect it. I respect the people, and I always respected the guys and girls in the game when I was there at The Fan. I mean, at CBS Sports Radio, but we worked there in the newsroom with The Fan guys. And you know, I always respected all of them. felt like an outsider and totally cool with it.
Last thing I'll ask you, and I always thought we would have done a really good show together. And I remember your mom, when I was filling in once, texted you and was like, I like this kid. I don't know who he is, but I like him. And I remember you told me that during the break.
Yeah.
But just to bring it back to wrestling real quickly, you know, I grew up as a major John Cena fan. You know, I don't really watch anymore, but obviously that was his last match. Just how did you think about the whole production of it and the way that it went down?
Well, I didn't see the match, to be honest with you. And I love John. I know John from when he started, when he was a kid. You know, when I was in WWE, I know him that long. I mean, I haven't seen John in a while, but I still consider him a friend. I did see clips of what happened. My personal opinion, I don't agree with it. I think he could have lost with no problem. It's a kind of a thing in the business when you hang up your boots, you give back to the business. You don't win the match. A lot of fans that are casual fans don't understand that, but that's part of what we do. You know, you don't normally win your retirement match. That's a thing, normally. But it's the way he lost. Like, it's okay for the dude to have his chokehold on him, but to have him tap out, I just didn't agree with that. Because, you know, here's a guy in John Cena who's done so much. And not just that, like, his whole credo was never give up, you know. It's okay if he was about to retire and, like, maybe 3 weeks ago he wrestled someone and he tapped out, but you knew there was a final match coming. I just think the final match, he just shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have had him do that. But again, I want to say this, Zach. You know, pro wrestling booking is subjective. So there's a lot of ways to skin the cat. And there's no right way, there's no wrong way. So it's like those people that are in charge of making those decisions in WWE, that's their prerogative, and who's to say it's wrong? I mean, even though fans didn't like it, it's okay. They're the bosses. Same thing where I work at AEW. You know, I mean, so I don't agree with all decisions creatively we do. Any place I've worked, I didn't agree with all creative decisions that we do. Any place, from ECW when I was with Paul Heyman or WWE or now in AEW. I've always been like that because it's subjective. It's creative. But I'm a team player. I'm going to embrace, you know, and use a lot of times things that I didn't agree with end up working. I'm like, oh, this was cool. Okay. And now that's the fun part of the creative end of pro wrestling. You know, no matter what company you work with, you know, there's a lot of ways to do different things. You could be creative. It's fun. And there's no right and wrong. That's how good booking is done. You just try to get it right as much as you can. And if fans hoop on it, so be it. It's all right. It happens. You know, it's like watching a baseball game. And you want every batter on your team to get up and hit a home run. Every guy's going to hit. No, it's not going to happen. It's impossible. The same thing with us, the way booking's done.
Taz, really do appreciate it. Thanks for carving out a few minutes today. All the best to you, and really appreciate your contributions to the network and, you know, jumping on board with us for a few minutes.
Zach, good luck to you, bro. Talk to you soon. Happy holidays to everyone out there, and I appreciate you having me on.
You got it. There he is, Taz. We already had Scott Farrell, and we had Taz on. Coming up next, BT, first up with the latest sports flash. The update man, Chris Lopresti. Alrighty, Brandon Tierney was a mainstay at this network for many, many years. He launched a network in mornings, then they moved him to middays, and then they moved him to afternoons, usually with Tiki Barber, originally also with Dana Jacobson as well. And Brandon Tierney, as we are looking back at CBS Sports Radio, is kind enough to join us right now. BT, what's happening, my man?
Zach, how you doing, buddy? Everything all right?
Yeah, doing good. So, let's just look back. When you started this network, obviously you're a New York kid, but you were out doing radio. I think it was with Eric Davis in San Francisco at the game. Yeah. And then CBS Sports Radio launched. Take me back to that time in your life and the time in your career when you knew you were coming back to New York to do national radio.
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously very exciting. I appreciate you having me on, too. Happy to do this and talk about the network as it gets ready to sadly go away. It was... I'll tell you, it was interesting. I had just signed the contract extension with 95.7 The Game. So, and to get out of that really took some massaging, shall we say. And I remember my wife and I were at a stoplight in somewhere in San Francisco going to dinner. And she was driving. I had a couple of drinks at dinner, so she was driving. And I remember looking at the text, and it was between myself and Chris Oliveira, who runs everything, obviously. And, you know, he said, hey, I know you just signed this contract. Can you get out of it? I said, you get me to this number and I promise you I'll get out of it. And he got me to the number. I got out of it and it was fun. It was exciting. It was different. I had done national before, very, very early in my career at Sports Fan Radio Network. I don't even know. What were you, 5 years old when that was around? Who knows?
Honestly, I'm a radio lifer. I don't even remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the crazy thing, Zach, is that it was fairly big. Like Rome was there. The Fabulous Sports Bay was there.
Sure.
Pharrell was there. So I was doing weekends, you know, 4 or 5 hours solo, hosting, doing some updates during the week, filling in for Pharrell, filling in for Rome. And that was, it was a fairly large, it had about 150 affiliates, primarily, you know, west of the Mississippi. So I had been out of national for a while and, you know, I knew Tiki. We had the same agent at the time. I didn't know Dana very well at all outside of a few conversations and her work with ESPN, which was always top notch and still is. So yeah, we just opened up a mic and started a network and threw some stuff against the wall and it worked out. I was there for a while.
You had so many different stops. You know, I know you worked in San Francisco, like we talked about, Detroit, Las Vegas. When you're doing a national show, you try to hit right all the markets and kind of make it a product for everybody, which isn't always easy to do. How much did that help with all the experiences that you had in so many different markets in your career before the network?
Oh my God. I think it was paramount. I'm not sure if I would have been able to do it. Maybe I could have tried to fake my way through it for a little bit, but you know, it's funny. I mentioned Sports Fan Radio and I remember being on the air and this was wild. I was 20 something. And we had a studio out off the strip in Las Vegas, but we also had in the Mandalay Sportsbook, a really nice studio. And that's where we would do the weekend programming from. So I remember doing one of my first shows and I got people calling in about the Oklahoma Sooners offensive line. I'm like, what the heck? I really just want to talk about the Yankees and the Mets World Series. What the hell's going on here? And as you know, because now, you know, you've done national for a while, you've been in the business for a while, you learn to adjust, you learn to adapt, you learn what you need to know and you learn to push the clutter aside. And back then it was maybe less, a little less macro than it's become. Certainly it's become more topics and less game oriented. Although, you know, nationally you still preview games. I don't mean that you don't.
Yeah.
But back then we were in the weeds a little bit. So I'm like, okay, this is trial by fire. Figure it out. And I found a way to figure it out.
Brandon Tierney, BT here with us. When did you really like realize that the network, because right, you guys were launching something brand new. There was a buzz, right? There was a lot of PR, but when did you realize you guys were really hitting stride and you're like, okay, we're building something here with the show that you had?
That's a good question. I got to be honest. It felt pretty big when we launched. I mean, it really did. We were at the Super Bowl a month later. We went to a couple of the Super Bowls. We went to the Final Four every year.
Yeah.
It was just a little bit, and I know you've made a lot of those trips as well, but back then that was the expectation. As we got a little deeper into the network existence, it became a little more optional. Like, well, maybe we'll send, you know, BT and Tiki and maybe we'll do this. And, you know, basically cost cutting a little bit is basically what it came down to. So I remember, I tell you, my first true moment where I'm like, okay, this has a chance to be fairly big. So I'm in San Francisco, as you mentioned, and I'm doing an afternoon drive and with Eric Davis and we solidified the deal. I come back, recently married, no kids yet. And my wife and I find, we hadn't found it yet, actually. We were looking for apartments in like West New York, Weehawken, somewhere in the water, somewhere kind of nice, pre-kids. We knew we wanted to have a family fairly soon. And I'm watching, we're at a restaurant, and I'm watching football. CBS is on, and we're trying to decide this apartment, just looking at the numbers and the space and all that, so proximity to the city, because I was going to drive in. And I remember seeing a CBS sports radio commercial, like right in between the NFL Today. And it's like Tiki, BT, and Dana. And it just ran, Jim ran through the whole lineup. I'm like, all right, man, that felt pretty big. That felt pretty big. And then I started getting the text messages, and then the show started. And, you know, it's funny, we had so many massive guests. I mean, we were very, and Samter was great with this. We were very early on the UFC with an imprint with that. We had everybody from Connor. I mean, you name a legend, Jones, back then. They were either in studio or on the show. You know, Archie Manning came in with his Heisman Trophy. Like, there were just some really amazing pinch me moments where I'm like, all right, I kind of knew I was in the business and I made it a little bit, if you will. But I think that definitely solidified and hammered home that we were off to something pretty good. It was a 10-year run. I mean, that's amazing.
What was your favorite memory? Like, is there one that just stands above the rest when you look back at your run here with the network?
Well, I don't know if this is my favorite one, but I'll tell you one that's probably my wildest. And quite frankly, I'm lucky I had a show after this. So we go to the Super Bowl, God, Zach, and Samter will give you some details. We go to the Super Bowl, right? I'm sorry. Ray was producing us. So Samter wasn't with us yet. So it was Martell and Pete Bellotti, right? I think Pete's back in New York, and it's me and Ray and Teague, and my wife was in for a little bit. Dana was there.
Yeah, Pete definitely wasn't on the trip. All he does is tells us how he doesn't get sent on the trip.
Yeah. Always complain. I love Pete. But yeah, Pete likes to complain a lot. He's the best. I love you, Pete. And me and my wife and Dana and Teague, I think, was hanging out with Rondé. And Dana's friend met at a little pub. Dude, it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's the sun's out. It's early. Now, we're on the air. There's a little bit of a time difference. We're starting 6 Eastern. So is that an hour or two? Whatever it is in Louisiana.
Yeah,
we have to be up earlier. Is it 1 hour? It's one?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got to be on the air at 5. You got to get to the convention center. It's just a lot of logistics that you got to navigate. Long story short, we go to this little hole in the wall, have a couple pops. Next thing I know, we're firing. I mean, I know I was, and so was Dana. We are throwing back hurricane after hurricane after hurricane. And I had never, I can hold my booze a little bit. I got a lot of Irish blood pumping through the body. And all of a sudden, I mean, it hit me like a truck. We were smashed. I remember actually I had at this point, I think it was 3 a.m. My wife, and who was much better shape than I was, Dana, me and Dana were equal. I'm kind of holding both of them up, going to the hotel. I think I bumped into Trey Wingo and some other ESPN people. All I know is, and we interviewed Russell Wilson after the show that day, and we taped it for the next day. I remember starting the show because I was the one who always started the show, and I was the one who did all the reads. And I'm trying to navigate this. Oh, dude. I'm trying to navigate this copy, and I'm literally seeing three of it. It's almost like in Rocky, hit the one in the middle. I'm just trying to bang the copy in the middle, and I don't know how. I don't know how we got through that show. I remember Tiki was fine. Chris Oliveiro coming through, and he's like, you guys are all right? I'm like, we're good, boss. We're going to make it. He's like, okay, make sure you do. That was a close call. Maybe not the best moment,
yeah,
but definitely a memorable one for sure, no doubt.
Let's be real. After what Chris has probably seen with Sid, Craig, and Scott Farrell, that was probably minor league stuff.
You know what, dude? That's an outstanding point. And yeah, you know as much about FAN. You grew up on the Fan. Yeah. Your pops, of course. So, oh, yeah. I mean, that's where it ended for us. Some of those other guys who I all know and have either worked with or know really well and really like, they may have been doing some other stuff. I wasn't that bad at the end of the day that night.
BT, always appreciate it. Thanks so much, obviously, for all that you've done. And best of luck, obviously, in the next chapter. We'll always be rooting for you.
You too, man. You're a talented guy, buddy. I appreciate your hustle. I appreciate the way you love the business. You know, you're still a fairly young guy. You got a very bright future in front of you. I think the way you've comported yourself around the office, you know, straddling that line of being confident but being respectful of those before you, it's noticeable. So you know you have a bright future. It's just going to temporarily be on delay for a little bit. You're going to rock it, bud.
Thanks so much. There he is, Brandon Tierney, joining us. BT, who I'll never forget, the first time I broadcasted from home, he had to fill in for me because my line went down and I had to zip through the city for, you know, 45 minutes it took me to get in when it usually takes an hour and 10. And him and Tiki had to put in some overtime before I got in at 7. And then we had Donovan McNabb right live at 7. I didn't miss a single second of that interview. So there's Brandon Tierney. DA and Marash next. The mothership coming on back.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass, and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.